D1, number 8B.
I will go down and up next weekend many times. Because, you know, that's the beauty. In the Old Testament, Jacob saw something. He saw angels, holy thoughts. And they were ascending and ascending, and then they were descending. But when Jesus came, the angels became men. And he saw that no man has ever ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. He saw the descending and ascending, but it was man. As long as we are in thought, in the level of thought and of thinking and of divine thinking and of thinking right ideas and thinking about God, the beginning is ascending, piercing through the mist somehow to get more and more light, more and more clearness and greater view. You see, it's like in Switzerland when there are clouds of mist over the mountains, you are in the valley, you know there is somewhere a mountain peak. And you ascend, you pierce through, and pierce through the mist. And little by little, the sun comes through. And in the measure you ascend and ascend, the vista grows wider and wider, infinitely wider. But that's the beginning sense. When we have the 6,000-year period, then we have the 6 day. And the 6 days says, Elohim saw himself. He isn't the little angel that creeps up the ladder. He is right on the top of the principle itself and looks at itself and takes in the whole view. So, in the New Testament, it is that no man has ascended, but he that has first descended. And then Jesus gives a little view to the future and says, the man that has been in heaven. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. That's where we like to be. That's where we like to be, that finally we see that this ascending and descending becomes a descending and ascending, until finally we begin to see that the whole thing is just one state of consciousness of heaven. And the Revelator saw a new heaven and a new earth. Both, not only a heaven. A new heaven and a new earth. And Mrs. Eddy shows that on the level of absolute Christian Science. Where matter and spirit are no more opposites, but just different stages of consciousness. Terrific. Think what the world will be to us. What a glory the present world will be to us when we see it only as stages and stages of consciousness. Where that which seems to be wars and rumors of war, depression and unemployment and undeveloped country and overdeveloped country, that's the bigger problem, the overdeveloped country, that all that is a mortal picture. But really, we have found a new earth and a new heaven, in which all these things are only stages and stages of consciousness, so that we live in a new world of infinite progression as absolutely concrete being, not as a highfalutin sense of visionary being, but concrete being. This is what we like to attain. And we can only do it, as I see it, if we accept absolute Christian science as a basis. Let me take another illustration for the four levels. For instance, the last four chapters of the textbook. You know that the last four chapters of the textbook show science. Science as the world, science as the Christ, science as Christianity, science as science. The chapter teaching Christian science has a lot to do how to get rid of your personal sense, how to get rid of malpractice and the belief in malpractice and malpracticing and being malpracticed and so on, and how to get rid of your personal sense. It's on the level of Christian science, handling there the opposite of science made manifest as personal sense. Then she rises the level higher to recapitulation, to absolute Christian science, and says right at the beginning of that chapter, absolute Christian science pervades its statements to elucidate scientific metaphysics. Rises it higher in consciousness and says, once you have got rid of the sense in person and personality and you being a person, you being a teacher, and you have been to be taught and so on, and see that there is only principles, idea as the only person, then you are ready for recapitulation, then you are ready to accept the definition of God and reason from God in all calculations. Then she goes further to chapter on Genesis, and Genesis gives us that wonderful level of divine science, where the true record of creation is the only record of creation and excludes the possibility of the second record of creation. It shows how the first record of creation makes it impossible for the second to exist at all. Divine science excludes matter. It excludes the possibility in another creation. And then you come to the last and highest sense of science as science in the Apocalypse, where really we get the touch of science, where it says there is no accuser there. There is not even accuser there. There is no more sea. There is no more night. Evil is completely compensated by the law of love. Completely compensated. And nothing can enter that city anymore which defiles or makes a lie. Can you see now the ascending sense that is given in those chapters in regard to how to rise in consciousness out of the possibility of evil? And so we could go on and on, and we will go on and on, but I don't see that it is right for me now to start with another subject, or it would be hurried. What I want to do next time, and I must apologize that I really thought, quite honestly thought last spring that in a weekend I could show the levels of science in 8 hours. I just can't. I mean, the moment one starts to think about it, it just has no limits. You will feel that. You will experience that. You will experience the greatest adventure of love you ever had. So, excuse me in one sense that I must take another weekend to finish it. Perhaps a third, I don't know. I haven't gone through half of my notes, about a third. But in another sense, I'm glad, because then I feel I have not overfed thought, and it has perhaps been quite enough at the moment, really, to awaken thought to what this chart is about. So next time I want to go on, and then, just that you know and get your peace of mind, I want to go on and show then what is meant by the word. You see, I take then the second column in the vertical and show what is the word in divine science, what is the word in absolute Christian science, and what is the word in Christian science. There are three very different things. The same with the Christ in those three levels. Then Christianity in the three levels. They are always different. And then science in the three levels. Then when we have done that, then I start again with the column of the word there and take the synonymous terms and explain vertically what is the synonymous term in the word in Christian, in divine science, what is the word in absolute Christian science through the synonymous terms, what are the meaning of the synonymous terms in the word as Christian science. Can you see? And then the second with the synonymous terms in the Christ, and then the synonymous terms in Christianity in the different levels, the synonymous terms in the last columns. And when we have done that, then we have gained our tools. Then we can start. See, then I have shown the seven, the four, and the four levels. That is then the 15, 14, 15. Then we have the tools, only then. And then we will have a jolly wonderful time. See, then we are going up and down that chart. Up and down. And then, that's very nice. And show how that applies in practice. What we can do with it. What it means in practice. What it means in life. Because this chart is not up in heaven, it's right in our pocket. And then when we have done that, then comes really the biggest joy. Then I want to show you, at least in a little way, how is the relationship of the impact of one level to the next level. For instance, what is the impact of the world in absolute Christian science, which is life, truth, and love? What is the impact when that impact precipitates itself on the word in Christian science, as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love? There we get the beauty. See, when we can begin now to combine, infinitely combine. Can you see now what perhaps was abstract concept when I said, I feel the time has come when science is no more so much the interpretation of the present text of the Bible and the textbook, but gathers now the creative, genuine sense, the creative sense of science, which can, with simple fundamentals, have an infinite calculus of ideas. So that each one becomes a compositor. We are no more then so much only interested in going to the concert and listen to the wonderful compositions that a prophet or a gospel writer has given, or even Mrs. Eddy has given in the textbook, then we start to be a compositor ourselves. We make music. the music of the spheres, each one his own type, each one his own music, but built not on sentimentalism, not built just on highfalutin vision, but built on solid ground, the chart. So that's what I would like to do next time, and if I have time, I may not have time, then I would like to go very slowly with you through the development of the Christian Science practice over the last 100 years. And with what we see out of this chart, we begin then to make sense of what has happened during the last 100 years in the spiritual realm of practice. How that practice has had to have to develop, because there were angels ascending. Ascending to a point where they could see, now we have to descend. That's the point where John Dolly took over the step forward from Bicknell Young. And then we begin to realize why the descending point is the only point from which to practice, and show that through the history of what actually has happened in the last 100 years. Then that makes sense. Do you agree that I do that?
Yes.
Without boring you?
Yes.
Fine. So, up to the next time, I have a quarter of an hour left, really, which you have paid. You see, I'm still a Swiss, no, not yet idea. I still think bankish. They say that the Swiss are good bankers, the gnomes of Zurich. They are. So, I think we are quite happy with what we have done this weekend. And with that which we have caught, the first faint gleam of an infinite vision, something that is coming to happen as concrete being. Just take that in lovingly and let's see if we can keep the covenant. The covenant we have made, no more the covenant of Noah with his rainbow in the dark cloud, that there will be no more flood. We have a higher covenant, a more promising covenant, the promise of the covenant on the basis, are we really believing that being, infinite being, who doesn't know an earth and therefore doesn't know continents, nations on that earth, who doesn't know time and space on that earth, who doesn't know a present age of that earth, and therefore doesn't know all that is happening at the very moment on that earth. Are we honestly seeing that there is only one infinite principle? And that principle has an infinite idea. And that principle and idea is the only reality that is ever going on. Do we keep that covenant? It's a covenant without people, without matter, without problems. We start there. And can we see that the spiritual idea through centuries has been more important and more powerful than all the politicians in the world? Whatever people made in way of wars, politics, investigation, inventions, and so on, the spiritual idea was more powerful and manifested itself as ideas of the first day, as ideas of the second day, of the third day, the fourth day, Jesus coming and fulfilling them in the fifth day. And therefore, do we inwardly, honestly, accept the challenge that somehow, somebody, somewhere, has to listen to the impact of the sixth day, and has the bigness and grandeur, the dignity to stand at the standpoint of principle, Elohim, life, truth, and love, and looking at itself. That's the only reflection. Looking at itself only as the infinite ideas of life, truth, and love. That's the need of the hour, the issue of the day. And we know that though this seems to be abstract glory, we have seen that this includes within itself the level of absolute Christian science and of Christian science. That consciousness which we entertain is not our consciousness, it is God's consciousness, and therefore has an universal impact in absolute Christian science on all the latent beliefs of the world, and has its impact on the level of Christian science on all the visible errors that we are conscious of. It's the savior also to everything that ails us. It is just a matter to see, can we see that the idea is power? Can we see that ideas are omnipotent, that we don't have to make them mighty, that ideas are omniscient, that we don't have to tell ideas how to work, that ideas are omnipresent, that we don't have to run around and rush around to make these ideas present because they are only there where we are, that these ideas are omniactive, they act by themselves. Do we believe in ideas? If we do, then it is the consciousness of God that does it. Then we have accepted. Then we have touched something of the coming millennium, the seventh day. Thought has accepted the divine infinite calculus. And accepting this infinite calculus conceives of something new. Acceptance is conception, and conception always brings forth a new child, a new birth. This is the big promise, terrific promise. If we love it, it gets hold of us. We don't need to get hold of it. If we love it, adore it, if we put all our hope, all our joy in it, it gets us.